Hello and welcome to the Blue Halo Podcast, a podcast where we discuss topics from a justice system and law enforcement and religion point of view, because they are intertwined. It's a crazy combination, I know, but it seems to work. And I am your host, Jeff Wambold, and I am a now retired 30-year law enforcement veteran, 31 years to be exact. That's a long time. I'm bringing that up because today's main topic is about time. Do we ever really have enough of it? Most people would say no. My 30-year career, I'll tell you, flew by. I can still remember getting the phone call to be hired. I was managing a gas station at the time when the call came in. It was a very good day. And speaking of good, God is good. All the time. Yes, indeed. It's funny how time flies, isn't it? But if you think about it, time flies truly when you're having fun or when you enjoy what you're doing or you're doing something interesting. You know, it's all relative to what you're doing. Time passing by fast or slow is relative to what it is you are doing. If my clothing is on fire, for example, you know, a few seconds will seem like an eternity. But a nice day with my family, oh, that'll go by in a blink of an eye. We all experience this, right? There's a quote by Leo Christopher. He said this, "There's only one thing more precious than time, and that's who we spend it on." You know, I'll wager that the word time or the topic of time has more quotes or creative sayings than almost any other topic. Maybe. Well, love. Love may be number one, probably is, but time could be number two. It's second. And you all can probably think of a few right now, a few sayings, right, without even trying. How about this one? There is no time like the present, but there is no present like the time, right? Or how about this one by Bill Keane? It's similar to the one I just said. Yesterday's the past, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. I like Bill Keane. He also said this one. It's a little off topic, but I like it. A hug is like a boomerang. You get it back right away. That's good. But the one I really like by him is the one about Santa Claus. This one here. He said, God put Santa Claus on earth to remind us that Christmas is supposed to be a happy time. Y'all know I help out Santa every year around Christmas, so I am partial to that one. But of all the special quotes attributed to time, I think the one that sums it up best, at least for me, and the one I want to focus on today is this one. This quote attributed to Harvey McKay. And here it is. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. This quote captures the essence of how we utilize time. Now, it's the very fact that time is limited that gives it value to us. That's what I think. Wouldn't you agree with that? Did you know, for example, some mayflies only live for about 5 minutes? That's it, 5 minutes. That's its entire lifespan. Now, talk about not wanting to waste time, right? Jellyfish, on the other hand, can live up to 1,500 years. Incredible. I'll tell you what, if they make a vitamin supplement out of jellyfish, probably do, but you should buy it. So how does this topic of time relate to what this podcast series is about? Is time relevant to law enforcement, to justice, and on a much larger scale, God? Yeah, for sure. For sure it is. Time is very relevant. There's so many aspects of time, so much so that I probably will only be able to scratch the surface here today. But that's okay. That's okay. Let's start, though, with the justice system. Time served, doing time, time off for good behavior, the right to a speedy trial, which is a form of time or a measurement of time. Time is very important in the justice system. It's a form of evidence. When did the crime occur? How long did something take? Even how long a criminal is in prison or jail matters. And by the way, do you know what the difference is between a jail sentence and a prison sentence? Many people don't know this, and they mix the two. A jail sentence is usually a year or less, and a prison sentence is for more than a year. So what matters? It matters how long someone remains behind bars in our justice system. It matters for the inmate. It matters for the inmate's family and friends. It matters to the victims. It matters to society in a bigger general sense. There's a correlation between how much time someone spends in a jail cell or a prison cell to other elements in a person's life, like happiness, sadness, depression, victimization. And I'm not just talking about the person in the cell. All these experiences, these emotions, are felt by anyone touched in some way by the offender. So time matters a lot regarding the justice system. Law enforcement is no different. In fact, time is so important in the law enforcement world that entire sentences are reduced to a simple number. I'm talking about the 10 code system. Those codes, those numbers, save a lot of time for law enforcement. They're used to save time, to shorten the way we speak, but still get the message across. Heck, we even have a 10 code to tell us the correct time. That's 1036, by the way. And it's very true that sometimes seconds are the difference between life and death. You all know what I'm going to do next. I'm going to share a couple of stories about this. Some are feel-good stories, some not so much. But I'll tell you this, most law enforcement officers actually have similar experiences, like taking too much time to locate an address of a police call, or by the time enough evidence was gathered to arrest someone, the suspect fled town. That happens all the time. But sometimes seconds do matter. And sometimes those seconds are the difference between life and death, like I said. I remember one summer night, late, a call came out of a vehicle driving recklessly near a park that had a lagoon in it. As officers responded, they observed these tire tracks leading from the street near the park, going up and over the curb, and then onto the grass. So they followed. And the tracks went on for hundreds and hundreds of feet. And it led them past the playground equipment and the basketball courts all the way to the water where the lagoon was. And when they arrived, they found the car slowly sinking in the water. When I finally got to the scene, I witnessed two officers peeling off their equipment and diving into the water to save whoever was inside that car. I'm not sure how they did it, but they were able to pull the driver out. He was the only person in the car. Maybe the window was down. I don't know. But seconds matter. I had an area partner one time come upon a major two-car accident. Again, late at night, one car rear-ended the other at a stoplight, and the second car caught fire. My partner didn't hesitate, and he ran toward the burning car and pulled out the driver before he fried in the blaze. Seconds matter. But all the stories don't have happy endings. Of course not. A day shift officer I knew received a call to respond with the fire department to our lakefront because kids were jumping off the pier and one child was struggling in the water. He couldn't swim. That's what we found out later, that he couldn't swim. When the officer arrived, she could see the child in the water, still alive. But by the time she could reach this child with a flotation ring, he had gone under and wasn't found for several minutes. During the second half of my career, I did a lot of public speaking, and I would often go to our local high schools a few days before prom and give presentations about the ill effects of drinking alcohol and taking drugs. And I would always bring in a prop with me, a prop like a long rubber medical tube. It was about 3 feet long, maybe an inch thick, and then I would somewhat demonstrate what it would be like if they had to get their stomach pumped if they overdosed. Now that got quite the reaction, let me tell you. I would also tell a very sad story about a drunk driving accident that happened to one of my friend's brothers. And I'll spare you the gory details, but tragically he was decapitated by a drunk driver when they met on the top of a hill on a county highway. But at the end of this presentation, I lightened things up just a bit. But I had to stay very serious, of course. You have to. Driving under the influence or overdosing on drugs or alcohol, of course, is very serious. But I wanted them to relate to the points I was trying to make. So what I did was I tried to direct the message at the female students and hope the message would spread to their dates if the points didn't get through to them. It usually worked. It's a good story. Maybe a little gross at the end, but I received the reaction I wanted. And my intent was to use the concept of time to stop them from doing something they may regret for the rest of their lives. Here's the story I told them, and my hidden message is at the end. I started by asking the entire audience, about 200 students, if any of them went to prom the previous year. I didn't really care, of course, if any of them raised their hand or not. I just acted like some of them did to help move my presentation along. So next I said, yeah, I see some of you went. Were you one of the lucky ones to sit at the table with the young man who was wasted? This usually started them stirring a little bit. Then I said, you would remember if you were, because he puked all over the table. The audience stirs a little more at this point. Some laugh. Then I said, yeah, vomit went all over. On the table, on the plates, on the food, and on his girlfriend's dress. And she even had a bunch of his vomit on her hair, and a small amount went into her mouth. Now the place exploded. Some kids laughed, some were disgusted. I had to wait a while before I could finish the speech because they were so loud and out of control. But once they calmed down, and the teachers weren't happy, by the way, but oh well. But once they calmed down and got quiet again, I said this. Nobody was hurt that night, luckily. Nobody was hurt. The student who was wasted, who was drunk, he was so drunk he probably doesn't even remember the night. But I'll bet his girlfriend does. I'll bet she never forgets that night. The night her hair and her dress and her prom was ruined. You see, once time is gone, it's gone forever. There are no do-overs with time. Just like a life, when a life is gone, it's gone forever. There are no do-overs. MusicCenterInc.com, nationwide, worldwide. Since 1945, Music Center Inc. has carried the essentials for what you want for your sound and music needs. Guitars, amps, percussion, DJ lighting, and more. We lean on the team at MusicCenterInc.com for all our professional podcast needs. Visit MusicCenterInc.com's impressive product selection and old-school helpful and friendly service today.
I'm so bored.
Honey, let's play Random Road Trip.
There's nothing to do.
Let's play Random Road Trip.
Hey, I know. Let's play Random Road Trip.
Great idea, honey.
Go to www.randomroadtripthegame.com to learn how you can create a lifetime of memories while spending quality time with the people that you care about. And all for just $20.
Hey, I just had a great idea. The holidays are right around the corner. We should give Random Road Trip games as gifts this year.
Or we should give Random Road Trip games as gifts this year.
I don't know how you come up with these great ideas. What was the website again?
It's www.randomroadtripthegame.com.
Welcome to fun.
Thanks for listening, folks. We're talking about time and how time applies to the justice system and law enforcement. But let's shift gears a minute and talk about how time applies to God and specifically in Christianity, the time of the second coming of Jesus. When will that be? Scholars have been, they've been trying to figure that one out for centuries, haven't they? So let's first ask this question. It's a question I've been fascinated with and pondered most of my life. Is or should time be applied to God in the same way it's applied to humans? I would think the answer is no. And the reason I think this way is partly because I believe God created time. Prior to our creation, and maybe even after the second coming of Jesus, after the rapture, maybe time won't exist. Now, I know there are many beliefs and many belief systems and all that. I'm just one man sharing a view. But because I believe God created time for us, it doesn't apply to God in the same way, if at all. To me, time or the existence of time, or time not existing at all, is one of those concepts that can make your brain hurt. I mean, try to imagine life without the concept of time. Try to do that. It seems impossible. We measure nearly everything in terms of time as humans. That's what we do. To remove it takes away our existence as we know it. Is your brain starting to hurt? Mine is. If you use the Bible as a resource, which I do, a lot is said about time and how it relates to God and us. So for example, early on, right away in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible talks about how the concept of time was created for humanity. Well, if it was created for humanity, that tells me God didn't need it. Because well, he existed before we did. He was fine without the concept of time, but created it for us because we need it. There's an interesting theory that says God doesn't need time because God is love and spirit and light, and therefore exists at the speed of light because he is light. Well, let's bring in old Albert Einstein for a minute and use his theory of relativity. I'm sure you've all heard of it. The theory of relativity, in part, surmises that if something is traveling at the speed of light, there is no time. Pretty cool. Does that make sense? I think it does, or at least it's one possibility. Like I said before, the Bible has a lot to say about time, especially in Genesis, where we can interpret that time had a beginning. It even tells us that time is linear, doesn't it? It goes in a line, not a circle. It shows us it's finite and that it's measurable. And here's a big one, and it's in Genesis and Revelations. Interesting, both the beginning and the end of the Bible, but it's in both. It tells us that time may cease to exist when its purpose is no longer needed or its purpose is complete. This would be what we say is, quote, the end of time, unquote. Very interesting. So, no is my answer. No. I don't think time is applied to God in the same way as humans. Mainly, I just don't think God needs time. We do. I'd love to know your thoughts on this. If anyone cares to email me, bluehalopodcast@gmail.com. But moving on. So another big question that is asked regarding time, I think maybe more than any other in the Christian world, is about the time of Jesus' return. If you are a Christian, you probably believe something like this, that one day Jesus will return to earth in all his glory to lead us and to fix our problems. It will take place sometime after the tribulation, but it will happen before his 1,000-year reign on earth. So I think there are several key points to discuss here. First, this is written about a lot. In fact, it's very prominent in Scripture, especially the New Testament. Here's something interesting, too. Did you know that the biblical references to the second coming of Jesus outnumber the references to the first coming by around 8-1? I was very surprised to learn this. There are over 1,800 different references to the second coming. Jesus even referred to himself returning something like 21 times. And get this, even Enoch in Genesis predicted it, and that's long before the birth of Jesus. So the time of Jesus' return has been written about and prophesied, and another thing we're supposed to know, before I forget to mention it, is the location of Jesus' return. In Zechariah, it's written that Jesus will return to Israel. That's the location. And it even gets more specific and says Jesus will stand at the Mount of Olives. We're even told that the whole world will witness his return. Now, this is the opposite. This is completely different from his arrival, isn't it? Only a few people were at his birth. But for his return, the Bible says every eye in every place in every corner of the world will witness his return. That's fantastic. We are told so much, aren't we? That Jesus will return, where he will return, people will witness his return, all that. But the one thing we are not told is the time of his return. That was the original question of this segment. What will be the time of Jesus' return? No one knows the answer to this. In Matthew 24:36, it says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." That's pretty clear. But doesn't it raise another question? Why? Why can't we know the time? It's pretty clear that God doesn't share everything with us. He doesn't reveal everything to us, that's for sure. Nor should he. God doesn't tell us everything. He shares what he wants us to know. Sure, we can speculate all day long about all the things God does not share with us, but in the end, it's just speculation. To me, this is where faith comes in. We either believe and trust in God, or we don't. We decide. It's our choice. To this day, allegedly, the number one question asked is, what time is it? That's funny. You would think with all the gadgets we carry around, we would pretty much know, wouldn't you? Here's something else interesting about time. It does not discriminate. Time doesn't care if you're rich or poor or what your race is or your gender. Throughout history, look at how many people had their life cut short, or I should say had their time cut short. Lincoln, Mozart was 35, Princess Diana, the Kennedy brothers, even little John John, JFK's son, died at the age of 38. Martin Luther King Jr. was 39. Anne Frank, I think she was only 15 years old. Elvis Presley. And most importantly, Jesus. We don't know, do we? We have an average amount of time as human beings, but we don't know for sure what we'll get individually. Here's something to ponder. If I gave you $86,400 all at once, in cash, $86,400 right now, today, and told you that you had to spend it all today, every bit of it, you would have a fun day, wouldn't you? And then, get this, tomorrow, I would do it again. I would give you another $86,400. And the next day, and the next day, and the day after that, every day you get to spend $86,400. You would love that, wouldn't you? Now, I'm not really talking about money, am I? No, I'm talking about time. We all have been given the same amount of time every single day, 86,400 seconds, every day. We all know deep down that time is more precious than money. So why aren't we excited about that? We should have an attitude of gratitude, as I've heard my pastor say, with this gift of time that we have. What's interesting is we have this belief, or many of us do, that somehow the future is going to have more meaning than it does right now. There is this fallacy that if we endure hardship now, or if we suffer now, meaning in the present time, all that suffering will pave the way for a better life later on. But here's the dirty little secret. This is the hard truth. Time, okay? Time does not reverse itself, right? Time does not reverse course. Never has, never will. We do not grow younger. Of course, for many reasons, we should all strive for success by working hard. We have to provide for ourselves and our families. I'm not saying don't work hard, but one important element in life is to channel our invaluable time towards those things, those endeavors that make the present time you're in so powerful and so impactful and so meaningful and just plain amazing that you are happy to be right where you are. I remember a line from the 1980s movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High that has stuck with me all these years. The character Mike Damone is talking to Mark Ratner, and he called him Rat. They're at the mall, and he's giving him advice about attitude and about being in the moment, and he says something profound that we should all live by. He said this, "Act like wherever you are, that's the place to be." That's good advice. I feel like the discussion of time could go on forever. It's poetic at times. It has scientific value. It's seen as a limited resource, but it's also one of the biggest riddles of the universe. And the truth is, our decisions and our actions define whether time is our enemy or our ally. Taking control of our time means living our own life, not someone else's, and getting the most out of it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.